The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. He went in and said to her, "Rejoice, so highly favored. The Lord is with you." She was deeply disturbed by these words and asked herself what this greeting could mean. But the angel said to her, "Mary, do not be afraid. You have won God's favor. Listen, you are to conceive and bear a son, and you must name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and his reign will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "But how can this come about, since I am a virgin?" "The Holy Spirit will come upon you," the angel answered, "and the power of the Most High will cover you with its shadow. And so the child will be holy and will be called Son of God. Know this too, your kinswoman Elizabeth has in her old age herself conceived a son, and she whom people call barren is now in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible to God." "I am the handmaid of the Lord," said Mary, "let what you have said be done to me." And the angel left her. The Gospel of the Lord. And so in both our readings this morning, well, in certainly the first reading and the Gospel, we hear about kingship. So in that first reading, David is being told it's time to build a temple. That's what's going to happen. God says to him, you're living in a house of cedar wood. Well, that's all very nice, you know, in your little Swiss chalet. But time has come now for you to find a proper resting place for that ark, the Ark of the Covenant. And it's, of course, in a tent at this moment in time. The Ark of the Covenant, which is said to be the footstool of God. The Israelites carry it into battle every time. In our church today, of course, we have a thing called a dwelling place, a tent. But, of course, Hebrew for it is tabernacle. So the word tabernacle comes from the word tent or dwelling place. And for us in the church, it's the dwelling place of Jesus. It's where we keep the Holy Communion, the Blessed Sacrament. But when I first read that gospel early in the week, it put me in mind of my first day in seminary, where you go to train to be a priest. When you train to be a priest, it takes 6 years, six long years, and there's no time off for good behaviour, and there's no early release. You've got to do the 6 years. Mind you, if you're a bit older nowadays, they whisk you through. And if you've been a vicar, you go through even quicker. But for people like me, it took 6 years. Cradle Catholics and all that. Anyway, so it took 6 years. And my first day in seminary scared the life out of me. Because I went into this room of 20 people. And in this room, they all looked very holy. Very holy indeed. And I knew I might be a bit holy, but I wasn't as holy as them. They just had the look. And I can remember thinking to myself, oh dear, what am I going to do? And then one of them spoke, and they had this most precise accent you've ever heard. It was like, I don't know, Prince Charles speaking. You know, it was awfully, awfully. And at that time, I just come from Wembley, and my accent wasn't quite like this. It was a lot broader London accent. There was a lot of hand movements, if you know what I mean. So you spoke a bit like that, you know? So I knew where I was coming from. So I did know what quite was going on. So this guy spoke. I thought, what am I going to do? Because I'm going to have to say something. We're introducing ourselves. And I thought, well, I'll have to put on a posh accent, because otherwise, that's it. I've had it. So I tried to put on this nice accent, and I sounded like something from Neighbours, I think. They said I sounded Australian, because somebody said to me, which part of Australia are you from? I said, don't start taking the mick. Oh, no, you're not, are you? You're from London. And I said, yes. So that was the first thing. And then we had our first community mass. And they decided that we're all going to do different things. And they picked me to read. And I thought, they've done it on purpose. They want to see me read. So anyway, we're with a beautiful chapel up in Allen Hall in Chelsea. And I can remember going up to do the reading and clinging on to the lectern for dear life. Because this was the first time I'd read in front of people. Or a lot of people. So I'm clinging on. And of course, you could tell they were looking at you. Or looking through you. You know, they could see through me. They knew I was nervous. And as I was reading, I always remember it was a reading from the book of Jonah. I started to shake. And the lectern was shaking. And if that wasn't bad enough, the legs started to go. And everything was shaking. And it was the longest reading I've ever done. I don't know, the book of Jonah is supposed to be the smallest book in the Bible. Well, this one wasn't. It just kept going and going. And I was thinking, oh, finish for crying out loud. Because if you do any quicker, and it was shaking. I thought, oh, what do you do? So I just sat down and they all grinned at me. Anyway, most of them left. They were too holy, so it was all right. Well, it wasn't the poor things, but anyway, they found other things to do in life. But I always remember that because I think when we listen to the gospel, we think of nativity plays, don't we? You know, we've all done nativity plays. And isn't it nice? And isn't it gentle? And it's all, you know, down comes fluffy angel at Gabriel and speaks to little Mary who's sitting there all like that. And then you think, but the reality must have been so different. Because Mary was a teenage girl and had no idea she was going to be picked to do anything. Next thing is an angel appears, Gabriel. And I just wonder what the fear was that she went through. I mean, what would you do if the angel Gabriel appeared? And he does. And then he says to her, you're going to have a baby. And she must think to herself, how? How am I going to have a baby? I'm sure she's done a bit of biology. She's got an idea. But, you know, she's going to have a baby by the Holy Spirit. And it will be the Son of God. And I think sometimes we miss the fear that Mary must have gone through. Total fear. What am I being asked to do? He wants me to bring in the Son of God into the world. And here I am, in Nazareth, in a country that's under occupation, and I'm a teenager. How can this be right? You know, has he visited the wrong house? Should he have gone somewhere else? What's happening? And yet within the fear, she has to give over all the control she has on her life. Because she has to give it over to God. She will now have no control over what happens. All she knows is that she's going to give birth to the Son of God. And I think to myself, we sometimes forget that in that particular gospel passage. She gives herself over. Any control she has on her life has now gone. God will be in control. And I often wonder, what do we take from a reading like that? Well, you know, in life, the one thing I'm sure most of us like to have is some control about the way our life goes. You know, I like to know where I'm going. I like to know what I'm going to do. I like to have some control over what will happen in my day. But yet there are times for people and for many of us when we don't have control. And how worrying is that for us? Because that's when fear sets in. You know, things will happen in our life we have no control over. And yet, in some small way like Mary, we have to trust that God knows what's happening and what's going on. But how hard is it for us to give over control to God? It's the hardest thing we've ever asked to do. How hard is it for us, for moments in our life, to have no control over what happens to us? Whatever it may be, whatever we go through, whatever we have to do. But I think when we have those moments, that's when we say the Hail Mary. That's when we say that prayer. Because it's that prayer that Mary says, isn't it, to the angel, you know, the angel Gabriel. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. And so in a special way, when them moments in our life happen, we have to give ourselves over to God. But it's the hardest thing we ever have to do. Because the most worrying thing for us is not to have control. But those moments will come. And it's at those moments we remember Mary, who gave herself over totally to God. And it's at those moments, I think, that we say the Hail Mary. Because it reminds us of what she did. And it reminds us of the strength and courage she had. So today, I suppose, when we listen to that gospel, we pray for all those people in our community, in our world at the moment, who have no control over what's going to happen. Those who are terminally ill, those who are sick, those who are worrying about something that they have no control over. But also we pray for ourselves. And we pray for when those moments come in our lives, in some small way, we have the same courage and the same strength as Mary, and the same ability to say to God, I trust in you, I believe in you, I know that you love me, and I know that you will be with me as I journey through this moment in time.